2 Samuel 22. That puts us within a couple of chapters of finishing 2 Samuel. It's taken 2 years to do, I was checking the other day, it's taken 2 years to do 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. We broke off from Psalms. We broke off in Psalm 70, kind of a convenient stopping point to go to Samuel. So if we'll probably just wind up going back to Psalms after we finish with 2 Samuel, unless somebody has a better suggestion, which I'm willing to entertain. You'll just have to sell me on it, okay? All right, 2 Samuel 22. And we can pick back up kind of where we left off. Let's go back and get a context. Verse 22:20. He, that is God, brought me forth also into a large place. We talked that about that with liberty last time. We've been brought out unto liberty. That's for sure. It's not a confined space. We've been given a mansion in heaven. We're assured that it's a mansion, not a room. So that's not a confined space. And the Lord's been good for us, to us. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. We discussed that too. It's nice to think that God could delight in sons that were fallen sinners and still fail pretty badly, but that he would delight in us. It says in verse 21, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now we know that this doesn't work for us the way it did for an Old Testament saint. Old Testament, the Lord honored men's righteousness to have a part in their salvation. Our righteousness, which we'll probably talk about later here, is practical. It's God's righteousness, as we discussed in Sunday school so much, that saves us. From there, our practical righteousness accrues to us for the judgment seat of Christ. But as far as us being able to brag about our righteousness and the cleanness of my hands, it's best for you not to do that. You're going to get it's like whack-a-mole. You start talking about that much and somebody's going to whack you across the top of the head, probably the devil. Verse 21, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. That's somebody rejoicing that he's done right and God's rewarded him. And God will reward you, but not with salvation, for your righteousness and your cleanness of hands. He'll bless you for doing right after you're a Christian. Amen. Verse 22, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. We talked about that closing last time. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. So his judgments were before me. Judgment is not always in the sense of God whacking you. His judgments are written down. So these are his judgments on sin and on various things in life. And so you have his judgments there written before you. He says, I have kept, verse 23, for all his judgments were before me, for us literally in a book. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself, from my iniquity. Okay, I've kept myself from my iniquity. Well, on a practical sense, you have a role in trying to keep yourself from your iniquity. But I'd remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what really keeps you is God. Saved by faith, right? But when the Lord saved you by faith, he fixed it so, yes, you would have a responsibility to keep yourself on a practical basis for your practical holiness, your practical Christianity. But as far as anything lasting and eternal, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we just looked at this in Sunday school, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're in Christ Jesus. Now, you're not in Adam. You're not in your sins. You're in Christ. So he took you and set you in a sanctified place. And so he says, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's the one that puts you in a safe place and keeps you from any measure of being able to be violated again by your sins, eternally speaking. Practically, you have an obligation to do right, and that'll keep you from having to reap sin that you've sown. So in that respect, yes, you keep yourself from your iniquity. But what really keeps you saved is God, right? Look in Colossians 2, and we've covered this a lot here of recent. Colossians 2:11, this again is one of the greater blessings that you can find in the New Testament. 2:11, in whom also, in Christ again, also, you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, that's God's doing. When you got saved, He cut away the body of your sins, of your flesh, from your soul and spirit, so that when you sin in your flesh, your soul and spirit are not defiled again. That's God keeping you, okay? Yes, I have a practical, in my state, obligation to try to do right and to keep myself from doing the things that people do. That's true. But that doesn't accrue to my ultimate salvation of my soul. What God did for me at salvation is what saves me, right? So, verse 24 of 2 Samuel 22. I was also upright before Him. I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. So again, leaning heavily on the Old Testament sense of God honors a man's righteousness to in part save him. Where he fails, he makes the sacrifices and the Lord honors that. That is no longer honored. That is your righteousness. And now the only righteousness that God honors to save you is His own righteousness, which He has to give you. Right? As far as the rest of the righteousness, the practical side, we would call that fruit, which leads to this. So let's talk about that a little bit. I imagine most Christians would say that they want to be fruitful. I question whether most Christians in most mainstream churches where people are actually saved, I bet that people wouldn't be able to go through very comprehensively to say or define what real fruit is in the Christian life. That's my guess. It's my bet. So let's do that for just a little while here. Look, if you will, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look and see what righteous fruit is. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see how we're doing, all right? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we can start back around verse 6. Now, he's talking about money here. Material giving. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to it, as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now again, he's talking about monetary or financial things here. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now that's true enough, that's you doing righteous, but it's God honoring that righteousness in giving as fruit. That is fruit to your account. I'll show you that in a second. Well, verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, I mean you... pay the preacher's salary, you give missionaries money to go to the foreign field, you do what you can, as sometimes somebody needs a building over there or extra money for a van or something like that. Does that accrue to you? Well, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay, now somebody might be able to guess that that giving financially to the ministry is actually fruit that abounds to your account. Might be able to guess that, but I wonder if they'd know where to find it in the scripture. But it's a sound doctrine. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Might be best for you not to always think about the church standing there with its hand out wanting you to give them more money, but an opportunity for you to be able to give to the ministry of, you know, a legitimate ministry where, I mean, God called you to go to church here. We're not giving money to the Gay Lesbian Foundation, all right? And so what's happening with the money is it's going to a worthwhile cause. Romans 15, going down, if you will, to verse 26. It hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So here are Greeks who are giving, Greek saints giving their money to send back to Jerusalem for Jewish saints there, saved Jews. Verse 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, the Jews' spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, I have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you unto Spain. I'm sealed this fruit to you. I've handed them the what you sent. I've sealed to you this fruit. Okay, that's fruitfulness, where somebody delivers money to a missionary or to some saints that you're being kind and charitable to, that's fruit to your account. Want to wind up at the judgment seat of Christ with fruit? There's a good place to start, very clearly laid out, right? Look at one more, Philippians chapter 4, along this line, Philippians 4. No, this is not all about money. There's quite a lot in the Bible about what fruit is, and we're going to define that for a little while tonight. But for what it's worth, it is money, it is material things, that does count, and it's not just the church standing around with its hand out looking for more money. I said Philippians, did I? It would help if I got to Philippians. Philippians 4, going down to verse 17. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye, talking about the Philippians, sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So what they're sending Paul, whether it be bread or shoes or clothing or whatever, that's fruit abounding to their account. So the money you give, you ought to look at it that way. Whatever you're given, you know, is going as fruit to your account. It's not just what you're supposed to do because you're a Baptist. It's not like that. Okay, there's a few other things we need to be careful and hit. Since we're in Philippians, go back to Philippians 1 real quick. Philippians 1. And notice this. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, okay, the rapture, quickly followed by the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay, that's you just living a righteous life, which is not what you lived before you were saved. And now that you are saved, you have a standing with God that's impeccable. And meanwhile, you need to be bringing your state into alignment as best you can with your standing. And however it is that you're successful in changing your lifestyle and living like a Christian is fruit that bounds to your account. It's fruit of righteousness. So doing right counts. Okay? It doesn't count to your salvation, but it does account to your inheritance. Amen? Okay, look at a few other things here. Look in Ephesians 5. I spent all those years as a Christian going to the Southern Baptist Church and then bouncing around a little bit in goofball churches until I got my feet on the ground in college. And I never really heard fruit biblically defined. I heard charismatics get up and waggle their tongues and talk a lot and try to convince me that I needed to talk in tongues so that I could bear fruit. Funny, I don't find that here. Ephesians 5, and go down to verse 8, well, verse 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, wicked men, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, goodness, righteousness, and truth are things that the Lord, through the Spirit, wants to bring forth in you. Now, that Spirit in Galatians 5, you know that's well-defined, Galatians 5. You're told in verse 19 what the works of the flesh are. And those are pretty obvious, except for the fact that they include idolatry, witchcraft, and some stuff like that, which you probably thought were spiritual sins, but no, it comes with the flesh. Right? But then it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, do you biblically love? Now, if you've watched too many movies and you're thinking about love the way that the world thinks about love, then that's not it. Okay? But if you biblically love, then you're bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Do you have joy? You have to self-diagnose on that one. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Those, you know, it's not wrong for us tough old Baptists, street preachers, dispensational King James people, to have these gentler fruits about us, right? It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You have faith. You have a King James Bible? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You believe the book and have been taught some things from the book. The Lord rejoices in the truth. He rejoices that His children are bearing fruit as the Spirit flows through them and teaches the book. So you're bearing fruit. By knowing the truth and believing the truth and acknowledging the truth and speaking the truth, you're bearing fruit. If you're gentle, good, you have joy, you have faith, you love the truth, you're bearing fruit. I don't know how the Lord's going to quantify that at judgment. Maybe He doesn't quantify it. Maybe it's totally, a quality issue. And I don't know how He's going to judge that. But however much inside that you have joy, you really take joy in being saved and knowing God. Gentleness, goodness, faith, all those things are fruit that abound to your account. Now it says more. It says in verse 23, meekness, temperance. Again, the gentler things. Not everybody's a fruit's not always a fire-breathing dragon thing. Against such there is no law, but there are some fruits there. That's fruit. That's fruit. Let's look at something else. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Change of pace on this one. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. Talking about verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, right? Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be, unless you're a modern American, but if ye be without chastisement thereof, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's pretty brutal talk. Well, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Yeah, you get a whooping and it hurts, right? Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit. And there's a fruit of righteousness again, unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay, what's your response to a whooping? The Lord spanking you for not doing right. If you get a whipping and it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness, then that's fruit that abounds to your account. And the Lord counts it a good thing. But that's fruit. When's the last time you heard a charismatic say that? Joel Osteen? Why is it so silent? Because that's a fruit of righteousness. That's a fruit that a Christian brings forth. Look at more here. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. We can apply this to us. Matthew 12. Okay, 12:32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, now don't get freaked out with this, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Okay, so that's a tribulational issue, but just read verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Okay? Well, that thing is saying that the words you speak are fruit. Now, hopefully you don't talk like you used to talk when you were fully in the world, right? Thus, some things, that's really one of the easier things to change, really. You may have a harder time giving up smoking, but, I mean, you should be able to change the way you talk and what you talk about. Okay, that is fruit that God cherishes. It's fruit that God honors. And every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. That might just apply to the judgment seat of Christ as well. So what's your conversation like? You know, what do you talk about? What do you really like to talk about? You know, it's fruit. Okay, we saw that. Look, if you will, over with me in John chapter 15. John 15. So we've seen money. We've seen righteousness. We've seen how you handle chastisement. John chapter 15. Verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So it's connected, you abiding in the Lord in fellowship. It is connected to the word. Right? Verse 3, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Okay, now, again, falling back on Sunday school here these last few weeks, you've been placed into Jesus Christ if you're saved. Now, how you abide there really has more to do with your state than your standing. I mean, you're going to be there because he put you there and you can't get out. But as far as your abiding in fellowship, I'm sorry, that's you. And the kind of fellowship that you have in the as a vine in the branch is going to be judged one day as far as your fruitfulness is concerned. How is your fellowship with God? Prayer, faith, thoughts during the day. Do you feed on the Word, or are you just trying to punch out the little reading itinerary every day? Make the check mark. You'll make sure you read your three chapters. How's that going for you? I mean, do you ever get hung up in a chapter just thinking about something because it's so rich? Or do you sometimes read 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 chapters because it's so good? I wonder what the Lord thinks of that. I mean, how much do you enjoy when your kids enjoy being with you? When your kids are really having fun, I mean, dad is the greatest thing that came down the pike since sliced bread. I mean, what kind of fellowship are you having? And don't you think the Lord might enjoy that with his own sons rather than dragging a bunch of bullocks by their nose ring into prayer and them falling on their knees and barely being able to stay there for 5 minutes before they're too busy to get up. They just got to go. And, as far as reading's concerned, they're busy falling asleep and thinking about going to the bathroom and all the things they got to do today, and my stomach hurts, and oh yeah, I forgot to call so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder how the Lord looks at those times of abiding in fellowship. So don't underrate fellowship. It's fruit. It's fruit. Look at Romans chapter 6. See, there's a lot more the Bible says about fruit than just talking in tongues or just leading a soul to Christ. I'm not saying that's not one of them. I'm not saying you shouldn't do all you can to do that, but there's more to it than that. Your relationship with God is not quantitatively determined. You may have some concern about how much time, how many pages, how many minutes, how many hours, some stuff like that. That's not like you discount them totally, but we'll be tried at the judgment seat of Christ for what sort our work is. Quality, not quantity. The quality of fellowship, the quality of your conversation, the quality of your giving. Did you really give cheerfully? Did you give excitedly because you see this money is going to go somewhere that's really going to help somebody? That's fruit. And that might not come down to just dollars and cents. And the Lord may not reward you just according to dollars and cents. He thought pretty highly of some widow that brought forth 2 mites. Just 2. Virtually nothing as far as money's concerned. He said she gave more than they all. It's amazing. All right, where was I? Romans 6, 22. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. It's saying that you wholeheartedly, went, tailgating and Friday and Saturday night partying and, discoing, if that was your gig, in the bad old days. But, do you take as much joy in being able to serve God now in this light as you did over that? Because it says, now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Once again, it's the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness. But it has to do with what you do and how you do it as compared to how you used to do things. It's lifestyle. Look at, if you will, chapter 7, in fact, Romans 7. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's related to how well you get a handle on the fact that you're supposed to be dead to sin and alive to God. It has to do with how you put off the old man and put on the new, right? Okay, God considers that fruit. Put off Kyle Stevens and put on Jesus Christ. And then when you're in the middle of the day, when you catch yourself going back to Kyle Stevens again, stop, put off Kyle Stevens, and put on Jesus Christ. And the Lord counts that fruit. And it's displayed in holiness how the Lord would do things. Look, if you will, in Hebrews 13, I think it's the last one. Hebrews 13. Verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips. There is something else that you're speaking, and in this time it's giving thanks unto his name. Okay? I mean, do you with whole heart sing the songs that we sing? When left to yourself, do you sing hymns, songs, hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord? Or do you go back to Barry Manilow and, you know, Hank Williams, whoever is your default in the flesh, right? But, I mean, when it comes to talking, when it comes to praise, when it comes to giving thanks, how much of it actually comes out glorifying God, glorifying Jesus Christ? Because if it comes out right, that's fruit. It's fruit. There's an awful lot of fruit. It just has to do with how you run your mouth and how you live your life. And the Lord looks at somebody who's not going to make, anybody's, all-star team as a Christian as far as fruit's concerned, as far as being a missionary or a preacher, but who lives their life on a day-to-day basis, honoring God, praising God, serving God, counting themselves to be dead indeed to sin, giving what they can give, and serving. That's fruit. It's fruit. It's not about how many souls, because that's one thing, and truly enough, I guess we didn't get a verse on that, but that's certainly one thing. That's certainly fruit. But there's a lot of other fruit too. Okay, back to verse 25, 2 Samuel 22, 25. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. And again, for us practically, we can take that as a practical matter of our state. Our standing is God's righteousness. Our state is our own that we've given to him as we live for him and speak for him and pray to him and abide in him. That's fruit. Verse 26, and we probably can't go very much further here or we're going to break into another subject. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with this upright man, thou shalt show thyself upright. So, in many respects, and we'll have to go into it next time, you get back from God what you put out. So, for some, if you're going to be cantankerous, he's going to give you cantankerousness back. Sometimes you get out what you put in. If it's pride, he's going to bring you down. If it's haughty, if it's a haughty attitude, a rebellious attitude, if it's scornful, the Bible says he scorns scorners. Come at him in a scornful manner, you're going to get something back in the face that you don't really want. We have to talk about that next time. Any questions or comments?